Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
Well, hello again, Jason Graves with Taff Winnick, and we're the Blazing Grace Show. Taff, how's it going?
I am fantastic.
Yes, well, you look fantastic, and are you going to have a fantastic weekend?
I'm having one right now.
You are. It's yeah. Friday.
Jason, this is good, clean fun.
It is. Right here. It is. So. No one should be allowed to have this much fun, but we do. We do regularly, so I'm thankful for that.
We get to pull somebody else into it today,
which is even better. And I'm thankful for that as well. We have back in the saddle today with us again, Deborah Dunn from North Carolina. Hello, Deborah.
Hi.
Well, welcome back, and it's good to have you. And of course, we're having a good time talking about your new book, Stupid About Men, 10 Rules for Getting Romance Right. And so, Deborah, you and I met, I think, just randomly through LinkedIn on the internet, right?
Something like that, Twitter, something like that. Amazing tools.
Yes, and so here we are, and you know, I'm just so grateful for your heart for women and for your book and the insights that it's bringing. And just to, by way of introduction, to refresh you listeners, of course, Deborah's originally from Tarboro, North Carolina. I spent years working as a family therapist with abused and neglected children, as did I, by the way, Deborah. And I'm also an MFT as well.
Really? So, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Deborah's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's particularly interested, and this is what really comes across strong in her book, in helping women who have been wounded by childhood sexual abuse, trauma, promiscuity, abortion, and marital infidelity, and helping couples stop the toxic communication and power struggles that are common in unhappy marriages. And so my first question is, Deborah, do you take radio show hosts as clients? Because
I'll tell you what. PayPal on my website, and you can get phone counseling too.
Hey, great. Well, that is so good to know. That's good to know, because we do counseling over the phone. A lot of folks out there want to work with somebody by phone. And so if you want more information about that, after listening to today's show, we'll give you information on how you can find her website, deborahdunn.com. But let's get back into it, because we left off last week at the point where we were just about to jump into kind of what I see as a controversial part of your book. And one of your ideas, which I really love, but I know that, you know, you're going to probably get some heat for, is you're saying ultimately, whether it's sex or romance, and I'm assuming you mean in a relationship, the root of the problem is narcissism and being desperate to have one's needs met without having to care a great deal about the other.
Exactly.
Wow. Say more.
Well, that is at the root of addiction, period.
Okay.
And if you look at alcohol and you look at the 12 steps program, the recovery is all about becoming more aware of other people, the other people you've hurt, how you've offended, how your alcoholism, how your addiction has impacted other people in
your
life.
So could this also be an addiction to romance too? Narcissism being a root of that?
Romance could be very narcissistic.
So what is...
I talked about in the first book, Trapped in the Magic Mirror, which has gone out of... The rights have reverted back to me, and now I'm planning on re-releasing that in the next year. I still have... There's a few copies still out there available. And it was a successful book, but it had a limited office. I mean, because you're right, the church really has a difficulty dealing with the severe problems within the church. You the church has become a hospital now for wounded people.
Right. So trapped in the magic mirror.
But there's not enough trained people on staff to deal with the enormity of those problems.
Right. Okay. So in that book.
Other than leading you in a spiritual direction to just pray about it and God will show you the way, well, God will, but oftentimes we are so confused we can't hear God clearly.
Okay.
And that's what I call the voices in the mirror. We can't become entrapped by the voices from the culture, the voices of our parents, our friends, the media. Even the church itself, which, says be quiet, be good, and don't let people know that you're having all these horrible, serious problems, because it's a shame issue.
Right.
And it's also a confidentiality issue. People mm-hmm. are afraid to tell their deep, dark secrets, as you well know.
Right.
Well, Deborah, this is Taff. I just wanted to interject this. Mm-hmm. It seems like people who are working in ministry or people who are just a member of a church fellowship, narcissism is something that's not easily or readily identified when you're dealing with ministry.
Well, it's called the flesh.
Right. Well, and it's
called self.
Yeah, I tell my clients all the time, I say, it's not whether or not we have narcissism, it's to what degree.
Exactly. Narcissism becomes a wound. It becomes a disorder when we're so wounded that all we can think about is ourselves.
Right.
Okay. That we're so desperate because we're bleeding. It's like people who can't learn to, who can't function in real life because they're so busy bandaging their wounds.
I was thinking about women. I'm thinking about your audience, your readership out there, and women who are in marriage, who have been through sexual trauma or abuse or all of the things that you list there. And, let's say they're a believing woman and they're in a marriage and they're really trying to separate. I can see them having this question, and I've watched this happen even in the therapy office, where a woman is really confused about what she gets from God and what she gets from her husband.
Exactly. A lot of that is because we have, unfortunately, a lot of messages in the church about, a woman's role in helping her husband and being his companion, being his sexual companion, making his sex life wonderful, being his beautiful all these things that, not taking into account. This is the issue with me, is that we're speaking for the first time in history to women who are a large percentage, I would say 40 to 50, 60 perhaps percent, have experienced traumatic childhoods, promiscuity in adolescence, abortion, sexual abuse. Now let me paint an ordinary picture for our audience. It is not uncommon these days for the average age of sexuality is anywhere between 14 and 18 now.
Tragic.
Teenage girls to become first sexually active. If that's earlier if the girl has been sexually fondled mm-hmm. or touched inappropriately, and she has very serious questions about her value, because sexual abuse lays down an imprint in a woman's brain that my value lies in my sexuality.
Yeah, so it's a very neurological, physiological.
Very neurological.
Right.
It's a mm-hmm. trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's a track that's laid down. Well, then she'll act it out at an early age. Well, of course, because she's probably not practicing safe sex, she gets pregnant, has an abortion.
Right.
And there's the shame, there's the hurt, there's the pain. I shouldn't have done that. This just proves I'm a bad person.
Right.
Because what's going on from that early sexual stuff is I'm a bad person.
Right.
And this is happening to me, and so it just layers upon layers, and then they get to college, they start to drink, they start to party, they have multiple sex partners, they may even experiment with cross-gender sexual acting out, confusion about bisexuality, that sort of thing. And this is true of men and women, by
mm-hmm.
the way.
Sure, sure.
Of course. And men typically, because they are so constantly confronted, adolescent boys, with pornography, with sexual peer pressure, that sort of thing, they begin the multiple partners mm-hmm, thing, mm-hmm. and they gravitate toward these easy girls who are wounded.
Right.
So they sort of find each other.
Yeah, there's like magnetic force between them.
That's
I want to get back.
And they start start feeding each other's addictions. Now, where that plays itself out with a woman when she finally does get married is that she's got this underlying, undealt with shame, feeling bad about herself.
Right.
Not feeling like she is as good as other women. She may have weight issues. She may have deep fears about her worth as a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she's frustrated. She may have emotional PMS stuff going on, hormonal stuff going
right.
on. What she does is she turns to her husband, make me feel beautiful about myself.
Right.
And this is, yeah.
His romantic attention becomes the salve for all of her wounds.
So if she gets to that place and asks the question, because I've, you know, I've been an eyewitness to this question. Mm-hmm. If I, she looks at her believing husband who is, you know, probably trying to get it right, but he's, you know, showed up with his own set of wounds. But she says to him, if I can't count on you to help me feel better, what do I need you for?
Exactly.
If I can't count on you to represent,
what she does, and this is what I call the toxic communication cycle.
Right.
And it starts about 2 years into the marriage, maybe even sooner. And it starts when that intense falling in love feeling starts going away. It naturally goes away at the 2 year mark.
Okay.
It naturally goes away, and it has nothing to do with love.
Okay, Deborah, I want to get back to this narcissism thing.
Right.
Because when we're talking about that, I mean, that can be both partners in the relationship. It's an over-focus on your own needs. But I like what you said. You know, you said it's really important to deal with both of these issues in marriage, you know, being desperate for love, being narcissistic or self-focused, both of those things. In many cases, you find that the woman's excessive need, and this is very controversial, we touched on it a little bit last time, a woman's excessive need for romance and her constant demand for affirmation and attention, because she's wounded and insecure for many different reasons, that can drive men into pornography and infidelity. And there's a pressure for men to perform romantically, causing him to withdraw emotionally.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, there's a lot of women that are going to really have a problem with that, and they're going to feel blamed for their husband's mistakes. But I know that's not the message you're trying to send.
No. And let me reiterate from the program last week that men and women drive each other. We're driven by excessive need. Men have an excessive need for sex because they're using it like a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Men, they're using it to avoid problems in their life. They're using it as stress release. They're using as recreation. Because they feel belittled, so they've got to prove themselves. And they just like it. I mean, they're just overly sexualized all day long. They're exposed to it, so they're heightened sexuality.
Right.
Now, I'm all for a healthy sex life.
Sure.
I tell couples, you know, you cross over the line when you begin to use sex as something other than an expression of love.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
just
even if
like
you're
when you eat when you're not hungry.
Right.
That's when you gain weight.
You don't want to do any of those things out of compulsion, okay?
Exactly.
Right.
When
okay.
It becomes when the need drives the behavior.
Right. Bingo. Okay. So just like with the man, you know, you're calling men into accountability like Taff and I do. And his use of pornography or fantasy even or just, you know, objectifying with his eyes, any kind of lust engagement, focusing on that sexually and sex that way, which is relationshipless, that makes her even more insecure, and thus the cycle deepens.
That is exactly correct. Now, sometimes I would say there's a preponderance of it starting with the woman, but I don't blame the woman. Let's make that absolutely clear. The reason for that is she's the one that's most likely to come into the marriage with past sexual wounds because she's been a victim.
Right.
Women are much more likely to be victims
yeah.
of male predators.
And I want to talk about
it's date rape. Yep. Or you know, let's put the blame where it belongs.
Absolutely. Right.
It back on the fathers and the boyfriends and the people in her life that were supposed to love and take care of her 10 years before she met her husband.
Sure, sure. And you know what? On behalf of all men, Deborah, I just want to make a symbolic request for forgiveness to you symbolically on behalf of all women, because as a person who, and you talked about how women are victimized even by their own promiscuity, well, you know, in the past, I've been a male in my teen and early 20s who did take advantage of that promiscuity.
Exactly.
Right, I exploited it. So I want to ask for forgiveness symbolically.
Wonderful, and I appreciate you, and on behalf of the women who've been victimized by that, I accept that apology. And I hope that they hear that in the audience, that we're not blaming women for men going into pornography. What we're not recognizing is that our victim state is setting up for the sabotage of our marriages, because in our insecurity, in our drive to need to for our men to prove how they love us, and what we're looking for is not sex. We're looking for nurture. We're looking for to be made feel worthy, to be made feel that we're not just a piece of meat, you
right,
know.
Right.
And that so often women, because they're trained culturally, confuse arousing a man in order to get that from him.
Right.
And then when they can't arouse him, when they can't get that romantic attention from him, or when he's just a not very non-creative type who just doesn't see the need for it, what she does is then becomes angrier. And, you know, she nags for it. She whines. She complains. She, why don't you love me? Do you love me? Am I fat? You know, it's a drama that's played out on a daily basis about her longing for that affirmation that she never quite gets from him. And
right.
Then the more she longs for it, the more she tries to extract it from him, the more he runs off into uncomplicated internet sex.
Okay.
It seems,
or the girl at work who thinks he's wonderful, you know.
It seems to me like couples, just from what you're saying, couples need to realize that when it comes to sexuality, I mean, there's a – each other is not the enemy. There's really a common enemy here.
Exactly.
A man is saying something like, well, I want to be adequate and I want to be honored.
Competent.
And yeah, competent. And the woman's saying, I want to be beautiful and I want to be relevant. And I wonder if your message to both of them is, let's stop using sex for that.
Exactly. And romance, the whole give me attention thing.
Okay.
You know, we long for physical touch. And what I hear from young women oftentimes is, I just want a hug, I want a cuddle, but all he wants is sex.
Right.
You know, and really what she's saying is, I want him to value me for something other than sex.
Right.
Without realizing that men, most often, I'm going to make a generalization here, but I find that men cannot separate the two.
Right.
If a man loves a woman, he wants to have sex with her.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a high compliment, actually.
So, listen, we're with Deborah Dunn, LMFT, Licensed Marriage and Family Therapist. If you are interested in working with Deborah over the telephone in therapy, you can do that. And you can get in touch with her if you want her to speak at an event or what have you. Get in touch with her on the internet. Go to her website, deborahdunn.com. It's D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Dunn, D-U-N-N.com. And, you know, delightful lady. We're so glad. And for just a second, we're going to have her give us a couple bullet points for couples on how to detoxify their communication. But first, have you heard about our retreat? We're going to have a retreat. It's called Hope as Big as Texas. And, of course, Taff and I will be there along with our good friends, several therapists and ministry leaders from around the country.
And several Texans.
And several Texans. You better believe it. And it's going to be big. It's going to be hopeful. Our very own producer, Mike DeHerrera, and our trusty chaplain, Ben Yoder, are going to be playing in the worship band. In fact, they were just practicing last night just for you. So May 1st through the 3rd, see the brochure. Just go to healingforthesoul.org, click on the services tab and the retreat page for all the information you could ever want or need. We're excited to looking forward to having you here with us. But Deborah, tell us a couple of nuggets, a couple bullet points with just a few minutes left for couples on how they can detoxify or at least begin to detoxify the communication in their relationship. And of course, we want all of them to follow up by getting the book, Stupid About Men, 10 Rules for Getting Romance Right.
Right. Well, first of all, you know, to address the wounds, to be honest and open with each other about things that have happened in their past that are driving them into not feeling competent.
Right.
And the things that they're most afraid of, if they can open that conversation, and that's what actually what happens in marriage therapy is this, I make it emotionally safe for couples to sit and tell each other, when you do this, it hurts.
Right.
And it hurts because it reminds me of what happened, you know, when I was 14 or whatever.
Yeah.
If I can get them to talk about that and think about that and tie it to past wounds and then make it safe to create a culture within the marriage where it's safe to be vulnerable and to expose yourself and not make demands and not blame the other in the marriage for how they feel.
Okay.
If I can say one thing to couples, man or woman, quit blaming your spouse for your insecurities, your lack of feeling competent, your own issues, your own baggage.
Yeah, right.
Own your own baggage.
Right, right.
Deborah, on the heels of that statement, because that was really huge what you just said, that's an immense you know, admonition. I just so appreciate that.
Good.
For couples, what would you say to them when they ask the question, how do I separate what I can legitimately expect from my partner and what is out of bounds?
Right.
Well, it's very hard to make a general statement about that because I am acutely aware that there is vast degrees within your audience of the levels of toxicity in the marriage. And if this has gone on for years and there's been continually battering, negativity, blaming, disappointment, feelings of incompetence, they desperately need to go into counseling with someone who can help them sort through these issues and begin that process.
Right.
But if they're at the initial stages of that and they can sit down and just write things out, sometimes writing things out, you know. But I have a blog post on blog. It's blog.deborahdunn.com. They can get to it from my website, actually. And I go through an example of how to stop toxic communication. And this is the thing about it. You have to make a decision. Are you a team or you are in a power struggle to see who gets to run the marriage? And if you can't decide that one thing, you're not going to progress any further.
Right.
Or who gets to be the victim.
Exactly. If you got to be a team and you've got to get on the same page. And in order to do that, you may be the person who has to lay down your weapons and say, I don't need the power. I just want to problem solve.
Right.
And you may have to do that while the other one continues their junk, continues their attack, continues their negativity. But if you consistently stay in that, what can we do to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
We're a team.
Right.
Tell me what I need to do or how we can make this better. If you'll stay in that stance and not engage in the back and forth, that eventually will break that pattern.
Beautiful. Deborah, thanks so much for being with us. I just can't thank you enough. It has been absolutely delightful.
Wonderful. I love it.
Would you come be with us again sometime?
I would love it.
Wonderful. Well, listen, if you want to get her book, go to DeborahDunn.com. And the title is pretty simple. Stupid About Men, 10 Rules for Getting Romance Right. And in fact, coming up in June, there's a book coming out tentatively titled Life After Stupid. So we'll look forward to talking about that maybe down the road, Deborah. So blessings to you. Blessings on your ministry. And look, folks, if you want to help us out here, you can help the Blazing Grace Show by making a tax-deductible contribution of any size. Keep us on the air. We're listener supported. To find out how to do that, just email me help@healingforthesoul.org or just give us a call, 719-590-7685. Of course, you can find Taft's information at legendcounseling.com. If you want to be a part of a group, he's got openings. So that's a teleconference group, by the way, anywhere in the world. So thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening, and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.